We begin Parakei, and we learned the secrets of the universe in Asara Mamaris Nivra Ha'ilam. Okay, the Mishnah tells us that the world was created with 10 utterances of the Rabbi Nishalayim. Uma Talmud Laimer, Vahavloi B'maimer Echad Yochel Lihibareis. Hashem could have created it in one fell swoop. Ella li para min arishayim shema abdin es ha'olam shenivra ba'asara mamarais v'litin schartayim letzadikim shema kaimin es ha'olam shenivra ba'asara mamarais. So the simple meaning of the Mishnah is this, that if Hashem had created the world with one effort, so to speak, we use that word about the Rabbi Nishalayim, so somebody who destroys the world is destroying one maimer of Hashem. Somebody who destroys something that was done with 10 efforts is destroying something that's much bigger. And that's a simple pshat in the Mishnah, although it begs explanation because there's no greater effort than the Rabbi Nishalayim to have one maimer or two maimerim. The truth is, you and I also, if we would say something 10 times, it wouldn't be all that much of a difference. So the next level understanding of this is that the world was created in many dimensions. In other words, had the world been created in one dimension of existence, so a person would be damaging somebody who has a singular dimension of existence. So they are 10. So it means that the existence is more complex, and when a person does damage to the world, he does damage to something much more than it seems. That's the way to explain the Mishnah a little better. Now let's see, Rechaim V'Lajin. Now this Mishnah is a tremendous theme of Rechaim V'Lajin in Nefesh HaChaim, and one of his mamarim. He has two svarim, basically, Nefesh Chaim and Ruach Chaim. In Nefesh Chaim, he explains, gives a Kabbalistic view of existence in one of his four mamarim. And what he's going to say here is a small, concise explanation of the theme that he wants to give, and let's see. I want to preface this by saying that we know in the physical world that for some reason there are many hundreds of millions of planets or stars, and we're just one of so many. And it boggles our imagination to understand why God, Kaviyachal, needed all of that for this one little world that we call our home. And for all of that, we have the vast universe and many, many worlds. Now, the physical mirrors the spiritual. Everything physical mirrors the spiritual. And let's see how he reads here, and then we'll try to have a good understanding of something that's hard to understand. Let's see how he explains this. Basar b'maris l'hiparav l'itein schar. Hine. Hagam shemi yova yachar hamelech lachgar esha shekvar osahu. Who can really come after the king, that is after God, and try to figure out something that he did in the past? L'sbainin tamros na'baris barish b'briyasei. To try to understand creation, which God performed not in our presence. And how are we going to figure out exactly what his intention was? Very hard. Ach. Rishus lanu l'sbainin b'ma shekvar ba bi'urei b'zayir ha'kadosh u'b'mukubalim. But to the degree that Hashem has revealed the reason, we have a right to try to understand it. God desired to create, and lehiotzel means to create in concept, unlimited number of worlds. Now within God's vast creation, there's a kayach called evil, which has the ability to rebel against God. And through creation, this Ra will be vanquished and will be destroyed, and it will become nothing. So that the purpose of creation is that in the vastness of creation, there should be this concept called Ra, and the goal of Hashem's creatures to destroy Ra. And Ra is not noticeable in any world except in our world, b'shechdei batei chaymer, we who live in our physical bodies, called batei chaymer, our homes made of mud. That's our flesh and bones. And in the higher heavens, there is no evil. Now, of course, this means in spiritual worlds there are no evil. Of course, there is no evil, which is mirrored by the vastness of space, in which there's no evil. There's no good and evil out in the planets and the galaxies above us. As one comes closer to our world, a person finds a little kayak to the mitzvah of Ra, and as you get to a closer to our world, there's more of a possibility of evil, a small, tiny possibility of Ra, and the more physical the world is, there's a little bit of movement, of spark of evil. Until in the lowest world, oh, all is evil. Except that Hashem created a human being, and blew into his nostrils a spirit of life, a spiritual life which can touch all the worlds. And the ability to reach and touch all of the worlds. And man is the only creature that can try to vanquish evil and make it become less until evil passes from the world. All right, it's a lot here. I'm going to try to explain it as best as I could. There's an idea that in the language of Avolbi, that the Copernican discoveries, he says, hafach ha'olam al reishai. Discoveries of Copernicus turned the world on its head. Now, Copernicus made a discovery about the physical world, which bred in its wake all of the possibilities of atheism and of the ideas of meaninglessness to a human being. But I'd like to explain it as best as I can. Man believed until Copernicus, really, Copernicus' lifetime, nothing was accepted. But later in Galileo's lifetime, which is about, what is that, a little before Rechayim Velazhina, we discovered the following. Man always understood that the earth on which we exist is the center of the universe. And around the earth, there are planets that revolve, so that the moon goes around the earth, the sun goes around the earth, and in Aristotle's model of the universe, which the Rambam describes in the name of Aristotle, the earth is when we were in school, we used to have an assignment. We used to make the solar system. Right, so you used to take an orange and a ping pong ball and a tennis ball, right? And you made a model of the solar system. So if you lived before Copernicus and you had to make a model, so what you would do is you would have in the center the Earth, you would have a ball for your project, and then you would have seven balls, each one a little bigger, around it. So you would have, let's say, a ping pong ball, then a tennis ball, then a soccer ball, and a basketball, and a beach ball. So you would have these circles all around them, and you would paint on each of these circles, on one of them you would paint the moon, one the sun, and you would rotate them to show the orbit of the moon around the earth, the sun around the earth. And the reason there were seven is because there are what we call Sheva Koich Veleches. There are basically seven orbits around the earth. If somebody wanted to plot astronomically, all the planets in the sky, all the stars rotate uniformly. So that if you made one ball and you painted all the stars and you turned it around the earth, the whole sky would be uniform, except for the Kechve Leches, the moon, the sun, Mars, Venus, the observable planets, which have their own orbit around the earth. So that's the way it always was. Man was in the center of all of creation. However you understood creation, however you understood the world to come about, whatever religion a person believed in, however you believed it, the fact was that you went out at night and you observed the heavens and you saw that you are at the center. You are the middle. Well, naturally, if we're the middle of everything, then we count for a whole lot. Then everything matters. If you're running a company and all the decisions come from your office, so you count. If you're the president and everything the country revolves around you, then you count. So you matter. If physically you're in the center, that's sort of validates the idea that all of this is all about me. I'm in the middle. Copernicus came and he realized that that model is not accurate. That's not so. Earth is not the center of anything. Earth is a planet, one of many planets in the solar system that go around the sun. And the sun is not the center of anything. The sun is one of many, many stars. It just happens to have these handful of planets going around it. We're not in the middle of anything. Not in the center, where there's a gigantic universe around us. And when a person observes all of this, he gets the feeling that man is just an accident. That man is not the middle of anything at all. Not the center of anything. And from a physical perception, everything changes. So the quote there is that the discoveries of Copernicus, hafach olam al roisho, turned the world on its head, made the world suddenly think that man, who knows, you know, maybe there are other planets with the human beings on it, who knows, you know, the science, this is a very big theme in science. I once, many years ago, purchased a set of CDs from an excellent educator, nothing to do with religion, an educator about, he gave a series of lectures on the discoveries of physics. Really, it was to explain quantum physics, not to explain it that you can become a professor, but to have basic understanding of all of the discoveries of physics. Now he, coming from that school of thought, made sure to throw in, every time he talked about the planets, consistently had to throw in that we're nothing. I can keep on throwing, we're nothing. You know, after a while you get convinced, well, maybe you're nothing. You know, I'm not nothing. You know, what do you mean? Well, why do you keep on stressing we're nothing? But that's part of this stress. Anybody who puts his focus on the model of the universe that comes from Copernicus comes to the conclusion that we're nothing. We're just an accident. This whole planet we're on is a speck in a gigantic universe. And what is it? And what is it? It's just a tiny speck floating around in the middle of nothing. It's such a vast universe that we're a little speck in the middle of nothing. That's the discovery. Now that discovery is true physically. Positioning Earth, it may be true. But it's only harmful for people who need validation for their purpose of existence. If you need validation, so then the Earth is in the middle and everything's around it and, you know. If a person doesn't need the validation, if a person feels, either feels or believes that what he does matters, so, you know, they can go to an old Polish Yid and you start telling him, you know, you're not in the middle of the universe. He says, well, Sakti HaChainik, you know, yeah, middle of the universe, in the middle of the universe, it's time to daven, you know, you gotta go daven. It's like, why does it matter all that much? Why do you need a validation that you're there? It's a certain insecurity that requires a person to have a raya, you know, remind me again, pinch me again, remind me. Like they said, Napoleon didn't like to sleep because when he slept, he wasn't aware that he's the Caesar. And when he's awake, he knew he's Napoleon. And when he was sleeping, he wasn't Napoleon. So he liked to be awake that he should realize he's Napoleon. So you don't have to, you only have to realize you're Napoleon if you might not be Napoleon. But, which happened to him, the whole Napoleon was about 15 years. But for a person who has confidence in a purpose in creation, and for a person who looks at the vastness of the universe and says there gotta be a purpose in all this, so such a person doesn't need the validation for the physical universe. And that idea is very much the theme that Reb Chaim Volozhin is getting at in his discussion here of creation. What he's saying is that the center of the universe is a place where there's a possibility of evil. The purpose of creation is that good should triumph over evil. And there is an inherent thing called Taiv. There's something that's not imagined, it's not man-made, it exists. There's something called Taiv and something called Ra, and it exists. And in all of creation, whether you look at the physical universe, or at the Ilamais, as he refers to them, which are the conceptual worlds, you're in the middle. And what you do matters for everything around you. That's the theme that he says. Let's see how he talks about this in his next paragraph. So Shomer David. But, yeah. Right. Even though the Avin Shesia might be the center, even in this world, there's no physical center in the sense that the Avin Shesia is somehow in the center of the globe from which it comes. The Avin Shesia, to our observation, is not any more centered than anything else in the universe. So while the world could have been created from the Avin Shesia physically, it's not evidenced in the result. We don't see it.
Look at Earth's so, as the center of the landmass around it, the continents immediately.
Yeah, maybe it. I've heard it said. I don't know. I don't.
There was the Yavasha of Zachamayim.
They say that Rav Hutna said that the idea of the drifting continents. If you take America and you plug it into the Mediterranean, somehow it fits, and then the Avin Shesia is in the middle. I don't know who needs that. Why does that matter?
It is interesting,
but it's not. I don't need it. I don't. All right, let's see.
So the whole function is this battle between good and evil, and that could only take place here when you have human beings. So how is the question of why you need all those other planets answered?
It doesn't answer why do you need all the planets. Why God needs all the planets, I have no idea. If you want, there is a nice concept, which if you remind me, maybe the next time we learn, I'll talk to you about why God needs all the planets. But the point here is that Hashem created us, Sarah Mamara, Hashem created a great world, and we're the center, not because we're physically the center. We're the center because what we do matters. Because we have the ability, unique ability in all of creation to do, to choose. And we know that the animals don't choose good and evil. No one says that when the liberals don't say that we should make a movement. The wolves out in the wilderness, the lion is destroying the deer. Why don't the liberal-minded people say, or the PETA people say, let's go out there and protect the deer, or the lions are killing the deer? They don't say that. Because we know that animals have no choice of good and evil. It's only human beings. So then you have to define what is good and evil. If you believe that killing a cow to eat it is evil, so then you start up with it. But everyone agrees that the lion has no good and evil.
But that discussion would be true even if the brain consisted of only earth.
It's true. So if you want, I'll talk to you about it next time. You remind me. Says Shomer.
The atmosphere of Hashem, so I make it this vast universe, maybe get a little glimpse of what it comes of. Okay, good. Of Zesh Amar David, Befreich Rishon Kumayesa, it's Yisukopayel Yavin, when Rishon sprout like grass.
And the those who do evil seem to grow. Why did God create evil? The purpose of the existence of evil is that it be destroyed forever. That gives schar to those who destroy evil. Vizel Shomer, it says about those who destroy evil, Vatorim Kirem Karni, Tzadik HaTavi Yifrach. Laisiv schar, right? Ubiyai Shahadam Kol Mikoloi Lama is Haria Kol Toli Be'emes Ba'adam. The truth is that Adam is the center. Everything does depend on what man does. Val Yoimer Hasar Me'es Hashem, Hinani Eitz Yavesh. A person should never think, if he turns from God, he says, I don't matter, I'm like a dry piece of wood. Im etztak ma'efal, and if I do right, what do I accomplish? Im ersha ma'akalkel, and if I do evil, what have I destroyed? Am keno adam u'kimerkas ha'nekuda, a human being is the center point, merkas ha'nekuda, asher im kaitna, which with it, despite its, what's at the center, despite its being tiny, all the circles turn around the center of the axle, the point that's in center. And if the center is a little off-center, then the circles that go around it, that revolve around that center, are also off. Now the center point might be off by an inch, but in the gilgal that turns around it, it's off 1,000 inches. To the degree that a person can do good and weaken the kayach hara from in his own life, through that, the amount of evil in this world is limited. The point he wants to say is that what a person does is the center. It does affect. In the brackets he adds, it says, Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. When God gave man a neshama, Vayihi, it should say, be'adam. It should say, in the person, it became a nefesh chaya. It says, Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. Adam is that which gives life to all of creation. And that's the concept, at least, that he was introducing here in this short piece. In the brackets, they refer you to the Maimer Dalet of his, Perek Dalet of his Nefesh HaChayim. But I think what I've tried to present to you is the basic message. We'll pick up again on it Thursday night. The message that this Mishnah is that the human being is the center of everything, if not physically, at least in the ability to accomplish. Right, we'll come back to it.